So some of you who have been listening to, I've been learning that some of you have been listening to the stuff I have on the internet, which is interesting for me, because on one level I'm like, I put all this stuff out there, and I'm like, and I have this attitude sometimes, I'm like, why am I uploading this stuff? I'm like, nobody listens to this shit. And then I like go places and people are like, I've been listening to your shit. So then I'm like, I need to stop putting it out there. Like, I don't want to hear it. So it's like, either way, I lose, right? So it's very, the modern world of the internet and so on and so forth, it just makes all of this even much more bizarre. So anyway, I say that. We're going to do a practice that I traditionally call the Illimitables, which some of you might have heard. I think I have several versions of it on my podcast. And the reason I like this practice is it's a good stretching of the heart. And so it's kind of a metta practice, it is, where we're going to focus on two specific qualities that are sort of at the opposite ends of the universe. And so when we think about the Buddhist worldview, the understanding of the human realm is that it's a combination of tragedy and beauty. And that's sort of the world we live in, is that there's obviously lots of tragedy in our lives, in this world, in this human realm. And there's also a lot of beauty. And both are true. And the mind has a hard time with that, especially if you have any black and white thinking in your system, such as I do, as most of us do, that we want finality, we want absolution. Well, is it good or is it bad? Is life tragic or is it beautiful? We want one or the other. The mind wants the lowest, it wants a kind of lowest common denominator. It doesn't necessarily, the untrained mind doesn't particularly care for complexity so much. And so when we wake up to and we can acknowledge, of course you hear that life is tragic and beautiful, the mind goes, yeah, well, of course. But the idea that both are simultaneously always true in every single moment really asks us to Randy's question earlier, of like, well, mindfulness, well, then what? Well, this, actually. So there's an awareness, there's an understanding that life is both tragic and beautiful. And that's not necessarily enough, because if I can't participate in the beauty of the world, then I'm not going to have access to happiness, and I'm not going to have access to joy, and I'm not going to have access to the beautiful side of my emotional life. And if I don't have access to the tragic, to the suffering, to the loss, then I'm not going to be able to cultivate compassion. And so the byproduct of our inability to do that can be a kind of depression, an overwhelm, or a kind of cold indifference, which is the near enemy of equanimity, which is kind of a cynical, dry, it's all just a big nothing anyway, what's the point? Which can really come across as being equanimous, but it's really kind of an indifference. It's a kind of, I don't want to participate in any of this because it's all going south anyway. If we're all just going to get old and get sick and die, then why should we even get excited or upset about anything? Which is a really bad strategy or a bad view to hold, I think. So we want to, if we want happiness, really what happiness looks like from a Buddhist perspective is our happiness gets questioned and gets challenged by our ability to respond to tragedy with compassion and our ability to participate in beauty with gratitude. So they're really, on either sides of the universe, they're the best qualities that we have as humans. It's the best we can do. And depending on the conditions that we find ourselves in, at times different qualities are appropriate for different conditions. So the understanding is that when we are encountering the suffering of ourselves or others, that metta that we've been cultivating, that metta transforms and it takes on this quality of compassion. It knows, there's a metta wisdom, is the understanding that right now my ease and my kindness needs to be transformed and needs to be brought into hold this this difficult, tragic experience with compassion, and it knows how to do. It already knows how to do that. It's part of its innate intelligence. It's the innate intelligence of metta that it knows that that's the right thing to do, and it's able to do that because it's been cultivated. At the same time, the metta wisdom understands that when things are beautiful, when there's joy, when there's success of other people, and all of the joy and the beauty in this world, which is actually quite a lot, that we're able to participate in that without feeling unworthy or without feeling jealous or envious, which is sort of the near enemy of gratitude. Is if the joy is not mine, then I just become jealous. So that means any of the joy and beauty in the world that's happening that doesn't belong to me, I experience envy and jealousy towards that, and now shut my heart down from that. So it's really kind of, we're really, really robbing ourselves from so much happiness when we do that. And also some of the enemies of this gratitude can be this a sense of unworthiness that we all times can have. We don't feel deserving of the beauty or the joy or the success or the accomplishment of life. And so both of those, the envy, the jealousy, the unworthiness, the not deserving, blocks us and it cuts us off from being able to actually participate in that. And then that again can shut us down and make us cold and cynical and actually have what we would call, like I mentioned last night, would be a destructive relationship to joy, which is like, I don't do the joy thing because it's too painful. Or I have a whole litany and a whole list of things that have happened in my life that were joyous, that were taken away from me, or that are over now, that there was so much loss around joy that I actually don't want to participate in it anymore because it's too painful. So for a lot of people, joy is very scary because it doesn't last. And so if it doesn't last and it's going to hurt when it ends, I think I'd just rather sit this one out. And then we can kind of get in this attitude about life where we just kind of want to sit it out. Can I just ride the pine on this one for a while? You know, and then we have that kind of isolated, non-participatory kind of life is this thing that I'm in, but not really. And Buddhism can kind of become a really, unfortunately, great vehicle for establishing that kind of attitude. So we have to be careful that we don't fall into that trap. So we'll do, and so I like to do these together because for a variety of reasons. One is that there's so many of us in the room right now. Some people might be actually experiencing a lot of joy right now. Some people may be having some difficult things going on. So what we're doing is we're almost challenging the system here by just seeing what happens if I open to both. And so in a 30-minute period of time, we can really kind of explore experientially the regions of the heart, really from its widest perspective. So we'll use phrases similar than we did in metta, but they'll be aimed towards compassion first. I do compassion first, and then gratitude. And we'll see how that goes and have a chance to talk about that after it's over. Does that sound okay? All right. So again, always just finding a way to sit that feels good enough. This will be about a 30-minute practice. We'll start and end with the bell. And these qualities of karuna and mudita, compassion and gratitude, are called illimitables because it's understood that there's no limit to the amount of compassion that we can cultivate. Just as though there's no limit to the amount of tragedy in this world, there's no limit to the amount of our possibility to develop care and concern for that. So it's a limited, unlimited quality. Just as there's no limit to the amount of beauty and joy in this world, it's endless. There's also this illimitable, limitless access the heart has to a sense of appreciative joy or gratitude. A resonance with all of that which is beautiful, to resonate. So developing this body awareness of the sitting, breathing body, letting go of any tension or tightness that is being held in the somatic body. And again, we'll focus on this area from the chin down through the belly button to see if you can create a soft front, softening, letting go of tension or tightness in the neck or throat. Allowing the rise and fall of the in and out breaths to be steady and natural. And see if you can allow your breathing to breathe you. You're not doing the breathing as much as you're just receiving the force of life inside your own being. And so we simply begin by just saying the word and seeing how it resonates in the body. Compassion. So just let that word drop out of the mind and into the body and see what happens. Compassion. Compassion. And the experience of compassion is this deep caring for that which hurts. Voluntary, purposeful caring for that which has been painful for you, that has hurt. This is a shared experience that we all have. So inclining the mind towards this concept, idea of compassion, and starting now to open your mind and to bring to awareness something recently that has been painful for you. Something that's been hard. Something where there's maybe some confusion, some upset, disappointment, suffering. That might be accompanied by feelings of resentment or betrayal, powerlessness. Just see if you can bring that up and bring that into your mind so you have this opportunity to practice with it. Through here, we're working with three ideas: to see it, to feel it, and to care about it. So by bringing it to mind, we're just recognizing and seeing an honest reflection, that which has been painful, hard. And so as you bring it to mind, you can just simply say the phrase, I see you. I see you. I see this pain. I see this fear. I see this tragedy. I see this. Bringing it to awareness, to wisdom. I see you, and I feel you, softening the resistance and the denial, the defensiveness around it. And allowing yourself to access the ouch, the vulnerability, I see you, I feel you, I care about you, knowing that you care about this enough to acknowledge it and to open towards this experience. And as you soften into the body, you can continue with, I see you, I feel you, I care about you. I see you, I feel you, I care about you. I see you, I feel you, I care about you. And developing this quality of compassion, a deep caring for that which is painful. Trying to not get lost or caught up in the contents of this pain or hurt, but just to feel into the felt sense, the reverb, the residual. I see you. I feel you. I care about you. I see you. I feel you. I care about you. And then allowing yourself to drop into the body, into some mindful breathing, and letting go of this image, this event. And just resetting your system, feeling temperature, gravity. And just practicing mindfulness of the body and the breath here for just a minute or so. Other word, this concept of gratitude and appreciation. Dropping that into the body, into the mind, into the heart, and seeing what resonates or comes up. Gratitude. A voluntary and purposeful participation in the beauty of this world and the joy and success of yourself and others. And then allowing your mind to recall or to bring to mind something recently or currently in your life that you can experience as a type of success, an accomplishment, a joyous experience. However small or large, doesn't matter. It could be simply your willingness to participate in this event today, to better understand. Something that you've done for yourself recently, that you feel good about. Gratitude for yourself, for your life, for your work. As you bring that to mind again, the same phrase as I see you, I see this success, this accomplishment, this joy. This sense of value, valuing yourself. I see you. I feel you allowing yourself to feel into that heartfelt experience of appreciation and joy and gratitude for yourself. I appreciate you. Thank you. I'm grateful for you. I see you. I feel you. I appreciate you. Thank you. Sending gratitude to yourself. This gratitude, this voluntary and purposeful participation in that which is good, a feeling into your own sense of goodness, accomplishment, and offering yourself gratitude for that. Thank you. And beginning to offer gratitude and thanks to yourself for all of the ways every single day that you show up for yourself. And do this hard work. And then we can open wider to equanimity or to wisdom. And beginning to open and to bring to mind all of the beauty and tragedy that you've experienced in your life. It's been both. I care about you and I appreciate you. I care about you and I appreciate you. I care about you and I appreciate you. And see how deeply into your system can you send that message. What part of you needs to hear that the most right now? What part of you is resistant to that? I care about you and I appreciate you. And we'll hold that in silence for the last 5 minutes here.